Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
So I have three kids, and I still am like this all the time. I'm running around, and it doesn't matter whether I try to have intentional time with my kids.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Isabel Tom.
I think just the nature of this season of my life is I am busy. I'm running back and forth. I'm doing the dishes. I'm trying to make sure permission slips are signed. And so I think that older adults and grandparents, they offer an extra layer of love, attention, and availability for the younger generation. And I think in this society, everybody is in a frenzy, right? Everybody's always checking their phones. And to have somebody to give you their attention, I think we all want that. And I think when we can tap into the time that older adults have, that's a huge gift.
More from Isabel about caring for aging loved ones at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Your new Higher Limits experience is open at Chumash Casino Resort. Beautifully reimagined for the perfect escape. Boy, who couldn't use that? Hey, welcome to freedom. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Your new Higher Limits experience is open at Chumash Casino Resort. Beautifully reimagined for the perfect escape. Boy, who couldn't use that? Hey, welcome to freedom. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. It is almost Christmas time, and I really needed that little skit that Kevin and Mrs. Claus did just now. That was so cute. I'm in a very good mood, very good holiday mood now. But I'm going to take a little different tack on this show. So I decided that I was just kind of going through end of year state of California problems, and it felt so overwhelming that I thought I would adopt a little line from Frank Costanza and Rand Paul with a good old airing of grievances for Festivus, which I believe is December 23rd tomorrow. So that's how we're going to open the show. Then we're going to hit some news points, which include some good news. In the battles between the Trump administration and California. And then I am going to end on a Christmassy note with some sharing of traditions from Maria von Trapp, as in The Sound of Music. I bought this book a little while ago, probably a year ago. It's called Around the Year with Maria von Trapp. And I wanted to start kind of expanding on my own family traditions and bringing, you know, more kind of sacred and just cultural traditions back, which have been really slipping by the wayside, especially as we watch our society just really kind of disintegrating around us. And I don't want my kids to think that that is normal. So anyway, so I'm going to share some anecdotes from that book in the end. So let's get started. All right. So for Festivus, if any of you were watching Seinfeld back in the 90s or Seinfeld reruns, I personally had never watched much Seinfeld until COVID, when I was stuck in my apartment in DC and I went through this this phase where when I was finally able to log off, because we were, as healthcare reporters at Politico during COVID, we were expected to basically be online every waking minute, but I would finally kind of log off at a certain time and make some dinner or grab a burger from the burger place down the road, and I would watch Seinfeld. So anyway, this is an homage to that. So, as you know, or as you will know, if you are not a Seinfeld person, the tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. And I've got a lot of problems with California, as you probably all know if you've been a listener, and you're all going to hear about it. So, how is 2025 wrapping up? It feels like just a minute ago, Donald Trump was inaugurated, and a lot of people in this state who hadn't bothered to vote in local and state elections decided we could all take a little break from worrying about government overreach and our problems because Trump was in office and he's going to fix everything in our broken state, right? Well, wrong. So this Festivus, after another year of Gavin Newsom and all his cronies and legislators in Sacramento, we have a California that has been sucked so dry that our politicians and the special interest groups they work for are proposing taxes on savings accounts and assets. Yes, they're saying just for billionaires, but we know it won't stop there. Once they said that the federal income tax was only going to be for the very wealthy and it would never hit normal middle-class people. And now we're all paying, 25% of what we bring in? Plus, they continue to go after Prop 13, the one little bright spot in California's tax code. But what won't they look at? Well, we know that they won't look at fraud, which even Gavin Newsom acknowledges is about $30 billion just during COVID. And we all know that that estimate is very conservative. It's probably closer to $60 billion to $100 billion in fraud. That's just our money. Just who knows where it's gone. Burned up. Meanwhile, our legislature votes to spend more of our money on their pet projects as we Californians scrip and save to try to make our businesses work with ever-growing regulations, taxes, and costs. Just a few months ago, I reported how California has given nearly $18 million of our money to a left-wing dark money group called the Tide Center to go to all these random nonprofits. 18 agencies ranging from our health departments to our workplace regulators sent payments to this nonprofit, which happens to be backed by liberal billionaire George Soros. And they never bothered really disclosing where all that money was going. It took me weeks to find out that the thousands of dollars were going out to these little nonprofits like the Orange County Environmental Justice Fund, which, what does it do? Well, it's not really clear. Its mission is environmental justice through advocacy, public accountability, healing, and systemic transformation. Meanwhile, the Department of Health paid the Tide Center $3.4 million, including $3,000 in late fees to manage public health planning for climate change impacts. So, yeah. And meanwhile, how is our cost of living going? Now that Trump is elected, but we still got Gavin Newsom. Well, it seems like gas is going down for everyone else. The national average for fuel was $2.85 as of last night, according to the what is it? The driving site, AAA. In some red states, we're seeing it's back down under $2 a gallon. But for us, well, our average fuel, if just gas, is $4.30 a gallon. And last week, it was almost $8 in parts of LA. But don't worry, it'll just get worse next year. Two more refineries are planning to close after Gavin Newsom decided to tackle gas prices by imposing more regulation and more penalties on the refineries. So it's gotten so bad that Valero is taking a $1 billion loss just to get out of Dodge early. So economists are saying that gas could go as high as $12 a gallon. But don't worry. I just saw a headline this week in a publication I usually like, saying that Gavin Newsom is a viable candidate for president in 2028 because he's, quote, having fun, close quote, trolling Republicans on Twitter and blaming Trump for everything. Well, one thing, California Democrats, we're seeing it on the campaign trail, they're kind of having a hard time defending their party's record in this state, especially since pretty much everyone is complaining about how expensive it is, even the diehard liberals who probably will vote Democrat no matter what happens. Well, they love to brag about their work on housing. Because California, even though it's still losing so many of its productive citizens every year to other states, I guess has imported so many immigrants that we somehow still have a housing crisis. It's hard to tell. We do know that our legislators never let a so-called crisis go to waste. So this year they passed a law that will make our cities and towns even more dense and into images of old Soviet Russia. So for example, if you live anywhere close to a bus stop or even a place where they're planning to build a bus stop, raised for high-rise apartment buildings, for low-income people who probably will never be you. When cities try to fight back and say they don't want to hand over the character and transform their towns in the images of these multinational developers who want to build their cheap and ugly Soviet-style apartment boxes, our Attorney General Rob Bonta and our Governor Gavin Newsom sues them. So that's what happened to Huntington Beach. Last week, Attorney General Rob Bonta was bragging about how he was able to force Huntington Beach leaders to build over 13,000 more units in a town that's already pretty full, if you've ever been to Huntington Beach. As one Californian pointed out the other day, the whole thing looks like a developer scam. The state sued the town that this person lives in, even though in the past decade, quote, every open space has been rezoned into high-density affordable housing. They crammed too many units on the land that are $3,000 a month, and they only need to set aside a small percentage as affordable, so they never hit the number they're supposed to hit, and they have to build more. The city wasn't designed for it, and traffic is a nightmare now. Speaking of housing and lack thereof, Gavin Newsom was bragging on TV the other day that until he came along and became governor, California did not have a statewide strategy to solve homelessness. I guess this is his new line as he eyes the presidency. Well, let's see how that statewide strategy has gone. Let's see. The auditors say $24 billion disappeared with no sign of where it's gone or what it's done. And California has more homeless people than ever. But don't ask Gavin where the money went. He doesn't care and he doesn't have to answer to you. The cities run by his allies aren't doing much better on the homeless front. U.S. Attorney Bill Saley, former Republican legislator in Sacramento, is investigating $2.3 billion in Los Angeles Angeleno taxpayer money that the city spent on homelessness that's totally unaccounted for. When I was Googling around about this, Google's AI says that, yes, LA does have an ongoing homelessness problem, but it lies in, quote, systemic issues like racism. I was just thinking, you know, trying to give our leaders the benefit of the doubt, that it would be really nice if, as they are spending all our money, if they worried about it at all or felt bad or reminded themselves that maybe they had a fiduciary duty with our money. But no, they're pretty blatant. Let's look at Julie Sue. Do you remember her? She was the head of the EDD, the Employment Development Department in California. And during COVID, she lost about $30 billion to fraudsters. California then spent all its loaned out COVID money that the Fed had given them to help the state cover its unemployment claims. And it turns out Gavin Newsom was the only governor in the United States not to pay that back, that loan. Instead, he shoved the responsibility for repaying that loan on business owners who had nothing to do with the loan to begin with. So if you are a business owner and you've got payroll, which we know you probably do, you've got to pay off the loan through a big hike in payroll taxes that goes up every year until the loan finally gets paid off. And what's happened to Julie Sue? Well, she and her successors never bothered to fix the fraud detection problems at EDD, so it's still going on, according to state auditors. Just last week reported that. And meanwhile, she had moved on to a fancier, more powerful job in D.C. under Joe Biden. She actually was able to lead his labor department as kind of a pseudo secretary because the Senate never confirmed her because of her track record in California. And now she's actually off to New York City, where the incoming socialist mayor, Zohran Mamdani, has appointed her deputy mayor for economic justice. You'd think justice would be solving the fraud problem and maybe saving taxpayers from having to pay the government's debt they had nothing to do with incurring. But I guess not. Speaking of lots of unaccounted for spending, let's look at California's experiment in giving free Medicaid to illegal immigrants. So my family and I are stuck on Covered California because we're small business owners and our premiums are going up even though we haven't filed a single claim this year. Because who wants to even bother with our bureaucratic hospitals and private equity firms that bought up all the healthcare practices if you don't need to, and we didn't need to. But anyway, Gavin Newsom keeps funding free healthcare for illegals, and apparently it's our duty, even though it's way more expensive than lawmakers and Gavin Newsom himself said it would be. Last year, or throughout this past year, Gavin had to keep borrowing additional billions of dollars to cover the almost $9 billion price tag for this program that he promised would cost less than $6 billion. Now, coming up into this next year, they're saying it's going to cost $12 billion. So anyway, there's that. And meanwhile, the health department is also not tracking its spending. Last year, the Fed said that California wrongly collected $53 million in federal taxpayer funds to cover illegal immigrants on Medicaid and now has to repay it. Speaking of unaccounted funds, what about the high-speed rail? So we're all paying more in gas taxes, or gas prices are higher, so that our governor can keep funneling $1 billion a year to keep that project alive. But is it even alive? There's still no track and it's almost 2026. Remember, it was supposed to be completed from San Francisco to LA by 2020. But it's a good thing our other infrastructure works so well with all the gas taxes we pay to keep our roads going, all the electricity, all the high electricity prices to keep our grid healthy. At least The lights are on, right? Well, wrong. Just this weekend, Gavin Newsom's major donor, PG&E, which hasn't been doing proper maintenance for years on a lot of its infrastructure, saw its latest casualty in San Francisco, where tens of thousands of people lost electricity over the weekend. Traffic lights weren't working. And this from a company whose CEO makes almost $52 million a year. This is from a company that keeps raising rates, so we're paying pretty much more than any other state for less and with rampant blackouts. So you'd think our politicians would feel a little shame about all they're putting us through, but no, they're too busy building a fancy new office building for themselves in Sacramento. They've waived all the building rules and environmental regulations that they impose on normal people who try to improve their own houses on their own property. They even shipped marble slabs from California to Italy to get shaped, finished, and then those marble slabs have to be sent back to Sacramento. Everyone involved in the project has had to sign non-disclosure agreements so that no one will know how much we taxpayers are shelling out for their new building. And you'd think that would be a sign of corruption. And speaking of corruption, we do have some watchdogs in California. They are called the Fair Political Practices Commission. And recently, they did look in response to a complaint at the $500,000 that our Attorney General Rob Bonta has spent out of his campaign funds for legal help, because one of his major donors and a strong political ally face federal indictment for bribery and corruption. So at least our watchdogs are looking at that. So what did they come back with? They just responded that there is nothing to see here. The commission spokesman said the funds were, quote, used in relation to his role as a candidate, and the commission will not take further action. So that's my list of grievances for Festivus. Good to get that off my chest. I'm sorry if I've depressed you. All right. Stay with us, everyone. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to Free Talk California.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs. Everything you want.
News, I'm Tom Graham. The Trump administration says it suspended leases on several offshore wind projects. Fox Business Network's Darren Battillo.
This is going to affect five different construction projects offshore, as well as dozens in the pipeline. These are all down the East Coast.
The Department of Interior citing claims that large turbines can cause radar interference, posing a national security risk. More Americans are packing airports this Christmas travel season.
AAA says they expect to see about 200,000 more people travel by air, an overall 2% increase from just last year. The number of travelers isn't the only thing increasing. Prices are also up, with domestic flights averaging about $900, 7% higher than last year.
Fox's Dana Marie McNichol at Miami International. America's listening to Fox News.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Welcome back to Free Talk California. I am Susanna Luthi, and I am wanting to update you on the legal fight over Prop 50. We talked a lot about Prop 50 on the show. It quote unquote temporarily suspends our independent redistricting commission, which decides congressional apportionment in our state. and until 2030, and hands over control of how the maps are drawn to basically the Democratic Party. The upshot of that is that we're expected to lose most of our scarce Republican representation in Congress starting next session. And the idea was that the Democrats sold it as a way of stopping Donald Trump by trying to make sure that by rigging these districts, Democrats can have a majority in the House of Representatives. So this proposition should never pass at all. There was really low voter turnout. I believe 4 million registered Republicans did not bother voting on this. However, it is already in the courts, and the law firm that was founded and was run by Harmeet Dhillon, who's been a guest on this show, she is now the U.S. Attorney General for Civil Rights at the federal DOJ. Her old firm took on the case, and then the Trump DOJ has jumped in as interveners. So they are kind of leading the charge on trying to overturn Prop 50. So not really surprising to anyone, the first legal round, and this is moving very fast. Federal courts tend to move very, very slow. I covered federal courts for years. And so this is all expedited because it is a matter of, well, probably because of the parties involved, you know, a very powerful state and the federal government. So California won the first round in the district court. And then last week, the appeal went before a 3-judge panel at the 9th U.S. Circuit of Circuit Court of Appeals. The 9th Circuit used to be kind of famously liberal. It was known as the place where progressive activist groups tried to, quote unquote, venue shop. You know, they'd always file a lawsuit against a policy that they didn't like or try to pick all their legal battles in a federal court that was within the 9th Circuit jurisdiction, because they were pretty much guaranteed to win. It's the largest appellate court in the country. During Trump's first administration, and I covered this at the time thinking it was a bad thing, but Trump really worked to flip the U.S., the 9th Circuit. And he didn't succeed in flipping it to majority conservative, but he was able to make it much more even. So there are chances now of getting 3 judges where the majority would be more conservative. So anyway, that was not the case with the appeal for this case. Only one conservative judge on the 3-judge panel hearing the case about Prop 50. And that conservative judge was a Trump appointee from the first term. I spoke with someone who was involved in the case, who said that, you know, one of the judges was certainly very hostile based on his questioning. One of the liberal judges, very hostile to the federal case, and obviously was going to side with California. There was another liberal appointee who seemed like he was going to be persuadable. But the chances are that they're not going to win this round, but it will go to the Supreme Court. And then just a little fun factoid for you loyal listeners. One of the members of the legal team working on this case is Julie Hamel. She's been a guest on the show quite a few times. She was a school board member down in Southern California, and she is working for Trump's DOJ now. So anyway, the arguments against Prop 50 were happening in the 9th Circuit, and from what this insider told me, they said that the California lawyers really looked humiliated. They haven't really had to work at being skillful at anything. And I will say, I think this has been going on for years and years. They're so used to stacked courts or courts stacked in their favor that they really don't have to be very good at their jobs. I saw this during the Obamacare case because I don't know if you remember when Texas had sued the United States to overturn Obamacare, and they were joined by a bunch of other red states. And then famously, the Trump administration in his first term joined that red state lawsuit, and the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, where kind of unsurprisingly, the court decided to uphold Obamacare because they just didn't want to deal with the mess of unraveling a law that the entire medical establishment, which is a very, very, very powerful establishment in DC, was behind. And I could go into the reasons why, but the Supreme Court justices tend to be pretty friendly toward the medical industry. So anyway, that aside, but I was able to see, because I covered that case, went to Texas, covered it in the Supreme Court as well. I was able to see the California attorneys, because California stepped up to be the main defender of Obamacare. And they were kind of, you know, the red state lawyers, even though I remember one lawyer from Wisconsin in particular just seemed to wipe the floor with the California attorneys, just knew law so much better and were much more skillful on their feet. So apparently this was the case for the Prop 50 arguments as well. The arguments from the Trump side were really sound. The lawyer who kind of took the lead with all the main closing statements, as a young guy with photographic memory and knew the case law inside and out. Meanwhile, the California side looked pretty pathetic, and this is really funny. I just took this from the transcript. I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, but so the Trump administration lawyer just wrapped his arguments, and then the lead California attorney, Amos Rosenberg, started mumbling. And according to the transcript, when the judge says, "I couldn't hear you," and she says, "I'm sorry, Your Honor, I was asking if we might have a short restroom break." And the judge responded, "If nature really calls, then yes, you can take a restroom break." And I just think that's hilarious. I've covered so many federal court cases. I've never seen an attorney ask a federal judge if they can take a restroom break when they're due to deliver their rebuttal, especially. I mean, ever. You just don't do that. So anyway, that's how it went for California. There is one thing that, and Julie Hamel was actually involved in this, according to the legal documents. One late-breaking strategy that the Trump administration is taking to try to force the Democrats' main guy who drafted the new congressional maps, they're really trying to get him to testify. But he has avoided subpoenas so far. So according to, I'm just going to read from a filing from the Trump administration asking for pressure on this guy. This guy's name is Paul Mitchell. So the argument from the Trump administration goes, quote, "Paul Mitchell drew the Proposition 50 map. He spoke to key legislators in doing so. Indeed, except for minor changes, the map he drew was ultimately the map the Democratic legislature enacted. But when pressed under oath how he drew his map and why he drew it in the way he did, he invoked legislative privilege and refused to answer these questions. Indeed, his counsel instructed him over 100 times not to answer the questions posed, including whether Mitchell made changes to the map in order to preserve a racial quota in certain districts in the Proposition 50 map." That's a declaration of Julie Hamel. "After an unsuccessful meet and confer, plaintiff and plaintiff intervener seek to compel information from Mitchell. Short of live testimony at a second deposition, the court should draw an adverse inference over Mitchell's refusal to testify." So basically what happened was at his scheduled deposition, the federal government was ready to grill Mitchell about the racial data because it appears that, which is against the law, and this is what they argued about, that the Democrats argued about Texas's redistricting, saying it was somehow the new congressional districts were drawn along racial lines. So they were going to ask him how racial data figured in the creation of these new gerrymandered districts that favored Democrats. Because if race is a key factor in drawing those lines, this would violate the 14th and 15th Amendments of the Constitution. It would violate the Voting Rights Act and the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution. And federal courts would have to strike down Prop 50. But when the questioning began, Newsom's lawyers just kept telling Mitchell not to say anything and told the DOJ and the other anti-Prop 50 lawyers that they were invoking legislative privilege so that Mitchell wouldn't have to say anything. So anyway, this is now pending before the Ninth Circuit. No matter which way it goes, it will certainly be appealed to the Supreme Court. So let's hope things go better there. All right. We have a few minutes before our next ad break. I want to start just reviewing for everyone the new laws that are going to take place after the new year, because this is my last show until January. I am off next week. So, sorry about that. Getting over a cold. So there are lots of stuff that's been passed, and you probably have already heard that one of the laws is a ban on the hefty plastic bags that we can get at the grocery store, because the first plastic bag ban resulted in some problem solving, which was that grocery stores started offering heavier duty plastic so that it could qualify as reusable. And they are reusable. They're pretty tough. Anyway, now those will have to go away. So that's just one. That's just one. And then we have, let's see. Oh, there's just so many. There are 800 new laws. So I will just go through several that seem like everyone should know about them. So if you are a landlord, starting on January 1st, all landlords renting out apartments must equip the apartments with a refrigerator and a stove, as well as basic appliances. So there's that. The grocery plastic bag ban, we went over. Let's see, there is a new lots of stuff regarding immigration enforcement, especially around schools. So this new law, it's SB 98, requires schools and colleges, community colleges, to basically send out, notify everyone in their community, staff, students, etc., if ICE comes on campus. And ICE would be prohibited from entering some areas altogether without judicial warrants or court orders. Very similar bill, AB 449, bans schools from allowing ICE officers on campus without a warrant. So school officials will be expected to interfere with federal law and federal operations. They would have to request valid IDs of any officer or employee of any federal agency conducting immigration enforcement that's seeking to enter a school campus. And schools, staff, et cetera, agencies would be banned from providing in writing, verbally, or in any other manner, the education records of or any information about a student or a student's family regarding immigration status. All right. There'll be a few more that we will review on the other side of these messages from our sponsors. Stay with us, everyone. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks kicking off the holiday shortened week higher as a tech rebound builds and as rate cut hopes are driving year-end optimism. Shares of AI tied firms like Oracle, Micron Technology, and NVIDIA advanced on renewed AI optimism following AI valuation jitters. The Magnificent Seven big tech stocks were mostly higher, and gold and silver prices rose to record levels. Shares of Paramount Skydance rose 4%. The entertainment company amending its offer for Warner Brothers Discovery, with billionaire Larry Ellison agreeing to personally guarantee over $40 billion of equity financing for the deal. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, Honeywell, United Health, and Apple. The Dow rising 228 points, the NASDAQ up 121, S&P 500 up 44. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, Lindsay from K-John's Jewelry Company. For as long as we've been here, there's been one principle guiding us: treat people with honesty and respect. That's why we never discount. We've always believed that pricing jewelry fairly, every single day, is the right thing to do. No inflated margins, no pretending something is a deal, just integrity. But now we're entering one of the biggest moments in our history, and we want to share it with you. After decades of showcasing designers we admire, it's time for K-John's to create something deeply personal, our own jewelry designs, crafted with the love and experience this community has given us. To make room for this new chapter, we're liquidating our entire current inventory. December 2nd through Christmas Eve, experience more than just a sale. It's a thank you from our family to yours. A thank you for every visit, every story shared, every moment you've trusted us to be a part of. And this is your chance to take home something truly special at prices we'll never offer again. We're so grateful for the decades of support you've given us, and we can't wait to show you what comes next. K-John's Jewelry Company, where every piece begins with gratitude.
Welcome to Free Talk California. We are just reviewing a few of the hundreds and hundreds of laws that are going to take effect in California starting very soon, January 1. So just a few more before we veer off and talk about Christmassy things. So things for employers to be aware of. There's AB 692. Starting January 1st, employers will not be able to tell their employees that they would have to reimburse their employers for work trainings that costs employers if they quit early. There is also there's also more paid leave requirements. So there's AB 406 that requires paid leave for employees or their covered family members if they say they're victims of certain crimes and have to attend related judicial proceedings. All right. Let's see. Oh, there's just so many. I will say there is one law that I like, and that's the requirement for public schools to start limiting the use of cell phones by students in school. So there's a good one. There's one that I can get behind. There's a minimum wage increase. So our statewide minimum wage will increase to almost $17 an hour for everyone, $16.90 an hour. And there is also going to be a new revision to California's pay scale law. It's called the Equal Pay Act. So they're redefining the definition of pay scale, sex, wages, and wage rates, and more ways that employees can take action for alleged violations of that law. Let's see, there's more stuff to benefit labor unions. So the Public Employment Relations Board will now be able to enforce labor laws in the private sector when the National Labor Board doesn't want to act. So the State Labor Board is a lot stricter than the National Labor Board. So expect, you can expect some invasions there at some point. Yes, let's see. There is, I think I'm just going to wrap up there. There's lots of there's some AI regulation, but that's a little complicated to go into now. This was interesting. I hadn't seen this. There's guaranteed Cal State admission for qualified high school students. Doesn't really explain what qualified high school students are. But yes, students are guaranteed admission to any CSU campus, which is probably not good news considering how standards have been lowered. So what qualified means, and just seeing the sinking standards of CSU campuses, not great. All right, so let's get Christmassy here for a second. So I have been getting I didn't used to be a glass half empty person, but it's been very difficult, and it's probably because I do have to watch politics so much and I can't just enjoy my life on the ranch all the time. And even with our businesses off the ranch, just seeing how state policy is just trying to bring down generational farmers, everything seems like a fight, and it gets really tough. You know, I've got young kids and I worry about the future in a way that I never did when I was carefree, fancy free. Maybe this is why they say you get conservative as you get older. You are bearing a lot more burdens, and you're bearing burdens for the next generation, which so many Americans are not even thinking in that mindset anymore, because so many have decided not to have children. But anyway, just the past, as we got into the Christmas season, and I'm a minimalist. We don't do lots of presents for our kids, but just looking for nice gifts. And it's so hard to find anything of high quality. This is extended everywhere. It's extended in the trades. You know, craftsmen are really rare now. And if you look around all the building that's going on, buildings are getting just uglier and uglier. Houses are getting uglier and cheaper and less likely to last. Even expensive clothes look cheap. Textile quality. I inherited some beautiful pieces of Italian clothing from my grandmother who passed away a few years ago. And what's so remarkable is the fabric will ruin you for anything that you can get now. Fabrics from 30, 40 years ago, they stand up and the lines and the designs are still beautiful, not shapeless and cheap like so many clothes. I mean, even expensive designer clothes look cheap. So I have been wrestling with, well, do you just kind of accept the slop or do you strive for something better, at least in your own family, in your own life, because that's a way to fight against it and to revive things of beauty. And luckily, I'm not the only one finding this path. You see it with a lot of young people, particularly in the Catholic Church, are really trying to kind of move past the 1970s slop that really degraded a lot of the beauty and tradition and liturgy of church. And there's a revival of looking for Gregorian chants and just more beautiful music. So I made a decision that, you know, we're going to strive to do better. I try to dress nicely. Every time I come to town, wear a dress, no more slovenliness. And it's a good reminder that beauty does truly come from within. You know, Europe would not be built with its beautiful cathedrals and palaces and old streets without the God-focused community that produced that culture. And if you really see the difference when you go anywhere else in the world. And obviously, Europe is just a shell of its old self. And we're seeing just kind of the dilapidated remains of that beauty in a lot of ways as it's not appreciated. But hopefully we can see a restoration. So anyway, in that spirit, I was reading the Von Trapp family book on Christmas. It's about following the sacred days of the year and how celebration happened. And for that family, if you remember from The Sound of Music, approaching Christmas is just very different than it is now. Advent is actually a time of fasting, very similar to Lent. And so the fast lasts up to Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve is actually a fast day. That's a day of confession. And it concludes really gloriously with Midnight Mass, which is my favorite. It's my favorite Mass of the year. I always go to St. Rose and leave the kids home asleep with my husband, but I just love that Mass. There's such just something truly beautiful and peaceful about being kind of up with the shepherds welcoming the baby Jesus. Anyway, they talk about, I just want to share this little book from Maria von Trapp, where she talks about the walk home from Midnight Mass, when the cold, crisp winter air seems to be saturated with that peace, which has been particular to the Christmas season ever since the first Christmas, when the angel announced it, and peace on earth to men of goodwill. And at home awaits us another treat. Supper has been early and everyone is hungry, so they partake of a early, early morning Christmas feast with a Christmas punch and Christmas stolen. All right, so with that, I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you in January. Take care.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. ask about the daily specials. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's